Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm your host, Vince Bonfigli. It is Tuesday, February the 13th. And it was a busy weekend in sports. NASCAR back in action, ARCA in action, NHRA in action. Well, let me get right to it. Joining us on the air, my very special guest, the one and only two-time NHRA Pro Stock Champion, Erica Ender Stevens. Erica, welcome back to Garage Talk Live.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I wasn't sure because all of a sudden I contacted everybody. I thought I was supposed to contact and didn't hear back until late yesterday. So I was glad to have you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, everybody's just getting back from being in Pomona.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird weekend out there. I mean, John Force's car blew up. Brittany had that nasty wreck to kick off her round one, and, you know, I think that put a damper on things for everybody watching. Good thing she's okay, and I don't know, it just seemed like everybody had a tough time handling the track itself.
It wasn't a bad track by any means. The weather was beautiful, the track was nice, just some weird stuff happened on Sunday.
That's pretty weird, like you said. And, actually, you had a fairly decent day. It's probably a better start to the season than you've had the past couple of years, making it all the way to the semis. I mean, not the results you wanted, but a whole lot better than the past couple of years.
Yeah, we were coming off a really great test session in Phoenix. We tested out there for a week prior to Pomona, so we had a lot of optimism going into the weekend. And, you know, our team cars, Alex Laughlin and Vincent Nobile, ran really well during qualifying. And Jag and myself couldn't seem to put together a great run. We ended up qualifying 7th and 10th and having to run each other first round, which sucks. But, yeah, we didn't really show what we were made of by any means. And, you know, our ETs were a little bit slower on Sunday than the rest of the field. But I by no means think that shows what we're capable of. We've we've got a lot of horsepower and a lot of good things in the works, and I feel like we've gotten a much better handle on our race cars. So I'm excited about what's to come. I mean, we definitely didn't want to lose in the semis to Bo, but he had an incredibly fast car, and that's just the way it goes sometimes. So I'm ready to head to Phoenix. I'm excited to get back out there. I know that we're going to have a good year.
It was wondering, because you were saying about your teammates, Alex and Vincent, having pretty good times. So was there anything that you could translate or take from what they had and put on the yours? And everybody on the on TV, they were commenting that you guys were having problems the first 60 feet, and then after that, everything would come in. And I was just wondering if there's any changes you could have made to maybe get a better first 60 feet.
Yeah, we made some significant changes on our car, and both mine and Jake's car. Vincent has a brand new car. We worked really hard on getting Alex's car the way we run them, and you know, he qualified fourth or fifth, and Vincent was on the pole, so things are definitely working, that's for sure. But we changed a lot of stuff. I mean, I can't say what, but we changed a lot of stuff you know, made the cars run a lot better. So in Phoenix, we 60-footed awesome with my car, like 968, 970, 972. So it's definitely a lot better.
The weird thing that gets me looking at your ETs, your ET in round two is identical, and your ET in round one has been identical. And then when you get to the semis, Bo's ET was basically what you had in round one and round two. You did a 660, but I guess you're trying to cheat the light a little bit and it caught you?
No, not cheating the light at all. Just,
no, I don't
it
mean
just
that.
Goes
I mean,
that way sometimes when you play with fire, sometimes you get burnt. Like it just, you know, and we couldn't have won that round anyway. Bo was 001 and he outran us, but still, you know, I hate to turn on the red light, but it was close.
It was. He had a 001. You had a minus 004. I mean, I guess it was, it's just, I don't mean like actually cheat the light, but the timing of that to when you have to hit the gas is, and the reaction times are phenomenal, even the fact that you're in a 00 as well, you know, and then had a 01 and was it 01? Oh, yeah, 018 in round one. I mean, you pretty much have the light down, and just the fact that, like you said, it caught you the one time. I'm just, I know they say the mellow yellow, go on yellow hole shot, and is that when you have to stop the gas as soon as you see that yellow before it hits the green?
Right.
But the main thing is, like you said, you get the semifinals this year, so it's a pretty good points jump. I mean, the last 2 years you went from Chevy to Dodge and then back to Chevy. So and then the fuel injection, new gas, and a whole bunch of, I guess, all new stuff you had to reacquaint yourself with. And you did manage to get that one win last year. I was hoping for maybe a few more after that, but it looks like this year you're in a lot better place than you were last year.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like I said about our test session and getting our cars more consistent, I think that this year will definitely be great.
Another one thing I wanted to ask you, and I know it's been a crazy year. You had, it should be a crazy off season. You're losing Englishtown, but you're gaining Virginia International Raceway. How does it feel about not being able to go to like such an iconic track as Englishtown with them deciding to pull the plug on motorsports activities?
Yeah, that was definitely a shock. You know, Englishtown has a ton of history. It's actually where they ran the first junior dragster race. So it's pretty cool, and we definitely enjoyed going there. So it was a little bit of a surprise to see that they suspended all drag racing there. But you know, I've been to Richmond a bunch before, and it's a great track. So, and the really cool part about that is a racer owns it. So he definitely understands what we go through because he's a racer himself. So we're excited to head to that part of the country. I mean, the East Coast, there are a lot of pro stock fans. So it's definitely exciting when we head out there, you know, to places like Epping and Reading, and Englishtown was a big one. And, you know, Richmond will be right there with it. So
that's another thing. And I guess the passing of Bob Glidden, who is probably synonymous when you say pro stock, he is the king of pro stock of all time. And I guess everybody likes to strive to break his records. And I guess the same for you. And it's just one of the iconic figures of the sport passing away this past few months.
Yeah, that was definitely sad. Bob was a legend, and more importantly, a friend and a mentor to me. So that was hard to go through. I was able to see him in Indy when I was up there for PRI in December. So I was able to go see him and kind of say my goodbyes or whatever. And I hate it, man. I hate it. He's a great guy, and our sport lost an icon, and I lost a friend.
I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't realize you two were that close, but you know, I guess as a group, all the pro stock drivers and we'll gather around with each other.
Yeah, Bob and I raced together when I first came in at Schumacher in 2006. He was on his way out, so I met him at that point, and then we worked together when I drove for Jim Cunningham in 2009 and 2010. So that's when I got to be pretty close with him, and then from that point on, he was we talked a lot on the phone, and every time he was at a race, he would come, you know, hang out in our pit, and he just is a good old guy, and definitely helped me a lot.
I can imagine. I'm sure he was a wealth of knowledge that you could just pick his brain and had the ability to do that on that level.
Oh, yeah. Bob was super smart, and you could listen to his stories for hours. He was awesome. He had been through a lot and learned a lot and done a lot, and he taught me things only Bob could teach me. So he was a great guy.
That's for sure. And it's just good that you had such a good mentor, I guess, to learn your trade in the pro stock division. I don't think you could have asked for a better one.
Right. I agree.
Now, on the Phoenix, you tested well there, like you said, and how often do you guys test at different tracks? I was wondering, you know, how you could translate Phoenix testing to Pomona with two different climates and different air and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's always different. Track conditions and weather conditions play a huge role in our setup. So, yeah, we test all over the place, really. Earlier in January, we had a week-long test session in Bradenton, Florida, and from there we went to the Nitro spring training deal in Phoenix the week prior to Pomona. So we didn't even go home after that. We just went straight to Pomona. But, yeah, we definitely learned a lot, and, you know, we're able to compare the data from Phoenix to Pomona and make the setups accordingly. But any testing is helpful. Now, Phoenix provides a unique environment because it is so dry there. You know, it was cool in the mornings and really hot in the afternoons. And it was interesting. The track was prepared really well. And you just take what you learn and apply it in other places and other climates, but you have to make the changes accordingly, obviously. But heading back to Phoenix this coming week will be cool, especially since we have all of that fresh data from testing there last week. So hopefully the national event will go well, and we can use the data that we acquired from the test session there and go on. But we test all over the place. We usually test in Tulsa because it's pretty close to our shop, like within a couple of hours, in Oklahoma, and we tested in St. Louis before Indy, and we'll test in Charlotte, and just kind of follow the tour. But you know, we'll see where the other pro stock teams end up going to test. We always all try to go together so that there's a bunch of cars running up and down the track, and then you have something to compare it to. So that's kind of our test plan.
That's a good thing, and at least they kept your season the full schedule this year.
Yes, yeah, we had to fight tooth and nail for that with NHRA, but we got it back to where we're, you know, we have 16 cars at all 24 events, and unfortunately they did cut our prize money, but we've got to figure out how to make that back. But they took a bunch of money from Pro Stock to give to those whatever 17th and 18th qualifiers in Top Fuel. So
really, that's.
Yep.
What, did they add two qualifiers? Because it used to be, what, 16 for each division?
No, there's still 16, but they want to give the people that don't qualify money for showing up. So I'm not sure why it got taken from us, but that was their logic, and it's their sandbox. So whatever. Don't have to agree with it.
No, I wouldn't. That's not right. I mean, as somebody who is on the outside looking in, Pro Stock has been around the sport pretty much as long as just about anything else. And to take, I mean, if anything, nobody likes to lose money, and especially even at the Pro Stock bike, and now you got the new Top Fuel Harleys. That must be something different to. I mean, that just sounds like something weird. I don't know if I want to sit on a Harley with nitromethane blowing out the exhaust.
No, they're pretty fast, though. It's crazy. They always run right in front of us during qualifying, so we always get to watch them. And they're incredibly fast, like 6 seconds, 210, 15 miles per hour. So it's pretty crazy to watch that. But I guess they'll be at the events that the Pro Stock motorcycles are not at, from what I understand.
Yeah, I think that's what they're showing. I guess you didn't have the Pro Stock bikes this week. And I think since changing over to Fox Broadcasting, they seem to be better airing close to live or live, more live. So you guys are pretty much in the spotlight from the get-go, as opposed to racing during the day, and then they got to wait till like midnight or later to watch what you guys do.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely better. We got a lot of live shows this year. We've got a handful of them that will be on the network station, so that'll be great. And the viewership is up. The interest is up, so that's great news for our sport.
And, of course, NHRA drag racing, where you buy a ticket, it's a pit pass, or you guys are all parked up on, they got the nitro on one side of the track, and then you guys and the bikes on the other side of the track, and everybody can just walk in and get autographs and meet their favorite driver, which I have to do with you some days, come and meet you in person.
There you go. Yeah, that's what's so unique about our sport, is that every ticket's a pit pass. So you get to come in and watch the drag races, and then go wander around the pits and see your favorite drivers and watch them work on their cars and get autographs and take pictures. And it's a really fun environment, that's for sure.
In the era of selfies, I guess you get requested to take a lot of those.
Yes, a lot.
Do you get much downtime between runs, between working on the car, or does it just everybody else works on the car and all the fan stuff that you have to do?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, during qualifying, there's a little bit more time in between runs than there is on Sunday for elimination. So, yeah, I have a job on the car, and when I finish that job, then I take care of my fans and the media and whatnot. So it's really a busy weekend.
It sounds like it. How did the team hunting trip go this past winter? I usually try to catch you before you go on it, but it wasn't possible this year.
It was fun. It's always a good time. It was a little warmer this year than it has been in years past. So it was like nice to not totally freeze your butt off, but something about hunting, you know, all your hunting equipment is like cold weather gear. So it's a little, that was a little different, but, yeah, I had two guys that got two really nice bucks. I didn't get one this year, but, there's always next year. It was still a great time though. It's really nice to go up and just relax, and your cell phone doesn't really work. So you just relax, and it's awesome, especially after such a grueling season.
And that's kind of like the decompression mode where you really enjoy going through what you have to go through with all the travel and the racing and all that kind of stuff. I think you spend more time out away from home than you do at home, so it's probably good just to get away into the woods and tune everything out, but the bonding moment.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely nice.
Does your sis go on the hunts with you, or does she pass on that one?
No, she's a hunter, too. She's always come in the past, but these last two seasons she's missed because she got married and moved to Pennsylvania, so they've been up there that time of year, and, you know, it's pretty close to Thanksgiving, so there's always a lot going on, but they hunt up there, her and her husband hunt with his brothers and whatnot. But, yeah, she always was a part of the hunt in years past.
Well, that's pretty cool. Oh, well, I better let you run. I thank you for joining me, and it's always a pleasure having you on, and you're always gracious enough to come on whenever pretty much I put out a request, so I thank you for that. I'll always be a fan of yours, and like I said, I got to get down to Bristol to meet you one of these times, because I'm not too far away. I'm only 90 miles, so shouldn't be too bad.
Well, that's pretty close, and Bristol's my absolute favorite track on the tour, so it's definitely something to see, and you would have a good time. So, but anyway, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. I'm sure we'll chat a few more times this year and hopefully have some wins to talk about.
Well, definitely, I'm sure of that. And go get them in Phoenix. You almost got them in Pomona, but that's why you run 20 events leading up to the countdown. So we'll keep an eye out and root you on when I tune on the TV. And I know covering motorsports, I'm thank God for picture-in-picture, because between watching you and the NASCAR people, and I got to split the screen sometimes.
Well, that's awesome. We appreciate you covering us.
Anytime, and you take care now, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, Vince, you too. Thank you.
All righty, bye-bye now. There you have Erica Ender Stevens, my pal. I wasn't sure I was going to get it. That's why I couldn't post that I was having her, because I threw a call out to a few different teams. Of course, John Force Racing being one, and her PR person. And I was able to get a hold of her new PR person, I guess, then. I hadn't heard back, so I couldn't really tell. And I wasn't sure whether it was at 12 or 12:30, because I had originally made the request for 12:30, but she called in at 12. That's why you always have to tune in, because you never know who's going to come on the show. So, matter of fact, what I'm going to go do is get into the results. Like I said, Erica to learn a whole bunch of different things the past season, because they went from Chevy to Dodge, and then at that point they went from with fuel injection, so they didn't have the big scoops anymore. And then the Dodge thing didn't work out, so then they had to go back to they went back to Chevy, which was where she won her championship with, and had to relearn a whole bunch of new stuff, because they were carbureted with the Chevy, and then they had to re-engineer the fuel-injected Chevy. So they had to get all that data, tinker with that kind of stuff. And, going from two straight championships to two straight learning curves, it's pretty amazing that she was able to get one win last year, had a few decent runs, but still, when you go out in the first round, it's not really all that fun, especially the first round of the season. So this year she was able to get to the semis, so that's pretty good. In the top fuel, Doug Kalita went up against the Sarge, Tony Schumacher, and was able to take that one. Pritchard, who was the number four qualifier, won this event last year. As a matter of fact, she won the first two events, but she went out in the first round. She couldn't even take the tree. They had mechanical problems right at the line, and that's, it's one thing to get beat on the track. It's another thing to get beat when you can't even run and basically had to pull yourself off the line. So Scott Palmer, who was her opponent, took it past a 6.4. When you're talking a top fuel dragster, and they were running in qualifying, 3.62, I think, was the number one spot. And Clay Milliken had that. And low ET of the event was Tony Schumacher with a 369 with a 6. So you're talking, they were looking at 3.7s, 3.8s last season. Now they're down to 3.6s and 3.7s. So that is kind of nuts. Of course, the winning pass by Doug Kalita was 3.77, and Schumacher had some traction issues at 3.71. Like I said, Brittany Force, round one, launched really well and got sideways, hit the ball a couple of different places, rolled over, and she suffered bruised ribs. She was qualified at number two. You hate to see that happen, especially since I've been trying to get her on the show since she won her championship. And, of course, Robert Height as well. But with all that went on, I didn't expect to get them on. And fortunately, Erica came through for us. She always does. And it's always great talking to her. And when you get a champion to come on the show, it's always something. So she always has a good time on our show, I think. Otherwise, she wouldn't come back. So she's been good about it. I think I've had her on ever since her first win before she went to Elite Motorsports. And then she won after that. And then the next year she went to Elite Motorsports and won a championship. And then the year after that, she won championship number two. And if anybody wants to put money into a pro stock, that's the one to do it. You got the Summit guys with Greg Anderson and Jason Line and Bo Butner. They're the same thing. He rents the car from them. They're teammates, but they're not really teammates. But if I won the Powerball at a Mega Millions, I'm going to put Garage Talk Live on Erica's car just because I want to see her go far that year, and I'd like to have my name on the hood. Well, not my name, the show's name on the hood. Far be it from me. And on to the funny car. Matt Hagen took the Wally over Robert Height. He was the lone survivor in John Force Racing in the funny car division. Courtney lost to Johnny Lindbergh by a tenth. John Force had some traction issues, but I think he wanted to get to the hospital to check on his daughter. Bob Pasca back in a Ford, qualified 14th, lost to Beckman, Fast Jack. Height going up against Jeff Deal and then J.R. Todd and then into the semis against Beckman. Beckman had issues in the semi, didn't post the time. So that put Robert Height up against Matt Hagen, who went against his teammate Ryan Capps. That was a close one there at 393 to a 396 for Hagen, setting up the final. And that was a close one there. Matt Hagen with a 382, 055 off the tree. Height was an 034. A little quicker off the light, but his 386 with a 6. Those 4/100ths didn't. The 0.2 off the tree didn't translate to get a quicker 4/100ths. He did post a higher speed at 336 to Hagen's 335, but. The top speed doesn't mean anything when you got to get down the track the quickest. Low ET of the day was a Hagen with a 382. Best reaction time was that 034 in the final against by Robert Height, and also the top speed on the pro stock. After talking with Erica, she did get off the, like I said, pretty consistent first and second runs. Qualifying number 7, she had a 659 with a 2 through rounds 1 and 2. She went up against her teammate Jeg Coughlin in round 1. Off the tree quicker, 3/1000ths quicker. Up against former teammate Drew Skillman, he red lit at a 001 and Erica with a 008. I mean, she knows how to get the jump on that tree, and that's what I said that she tried to cheat the tree a little bit, but she said, no, you don't cheat the tree. But when your reaction is to hit your gas at a certain point on that tree, I mean, even if she got a 000, Butner had a 001, and he had the better time at a 659 with a 2. Which, like I said with Erica, I said, her first two times were that time right there, and she had a 660 with a 4. So you're looking at what? 1/100th of a second difference. But Vincent O'Beal was your number one qualifier, so he had a 585 in round one, then a 658 in round one to a 659 in round two. His round two opponent actually beat him with a 658. But the 008 for Nobile and the 019 for Derek Kramer. Kramer did pull it out up against Jason Line, and then Jason Line. Derek Kramer jumped the gun by a lot. He had a red light with an 047 reaction, so that's long red light. And Jason Line didn't have to waste any time. He had a 045, which is pretty slow, decent for a pro stock. But when you run the quarter mile in a 1679, and you can take your time after seeing that. Of course, Bo Butner did win, so at least after beating Erica, close one, even though the red light disqualified her. His 015 beat his teammate Jason Line, and his 654 with a 9 beat Line's 656 with an 8 by 2/100. So it was close, but not close. So there you have it. The standings. Let's check the standings. Always got to get to the standings. So in top fuel division, being Doug Coletta beat Tony Schumacher, Battle of the Titans. He's in the number one spot. Schumacher 17 points back. Milliken, who had a good last year and looks like he's having a good this year too, is in third. 28 back. Antoine Brown is in fourth. Steve Torrence fifth. Scotty Palmer in sixth. Brittany Force, 77 back. I think she would have had a better day had the car not rolled over and I had to take her to the hospital. Get well soon, Brittany. We love you here at Garage Talk Live. Hopefully you'll be able to join us. She's seventh. Steve Faria is eighth. Ninth, Mike Salinas and Leah Pritchett. Makes the top 10, even though she didn't get to run the final. So she did get some points for being a top three qualifier. In the funny car division, it's Matt Hagen with a 26-point lead over runner-up Robert Height. Beckman is third, 46 back. Ronnie Capps, fourth. Johnny Lindbergh, fifth. Tim Wilkerson, sixth. Seventh, J.R. Todd. Cruz Pedregon, 8th, 9th, Courtney Force, and 10th, Tommy Johnson Jr. John Force, in 16th, that's not like Johnny. Dr. Johnny did get an honorary doctorate degree. So, so we can call him Dr. John Force now, like I said, I was hoping to get one of them on, but after that, I knew that wasn't going to happen. Okay, who had a decent day? He's 14th in the Auto Alert Shelby. We could probably get Bob on. Haven't had him on since I was still at WNJC, and he was driving in JDRF, the Junior Diabetes Research Foundation, had a contest with Ford to design the paint scheme on Bob Tasca's funny car. Well, that was won by a youngster named Liam Flanagan. Now, Liam Flanagan designed a really nice-looking car. I think he enters it every year. He's got a somewhat artistic skill. He's getting kind of big now from back in the day. But his mother used to work at the local Arby's that I used to go to and bowl with. So when I found that out, I had to have them on the show, and I tried to get Mommy on because I hadn't seen her in quite a few years. She was still 16 at the time, and it was her, I, another, and a couple other, her sister and another friend of ours that used to work there. We'd all go bowling together and have some fun at the local bowling alley. And lo and behold, her son got to design a Nitro funny car for an event and get the VIP treatment, go to the race, get, you know, nice of Ford to take care of all that. And it just unreal that it was local, so it's just pretty neat how things like that work. As soon as I saw that, it's like, hey, I know that. Well, that's how it goes. On the pro stock, let's see. Bo Buckner, of course, holding down the number one spot. Jason Lyne in second. Erica is third, 74 back. No, wait a second. 41 back. 1 point ahead of Derek Kramer, who was the other semifinalist. He's 42 back. Vincent Nobile, it is 50 back. Drew Skillman, sixth. There's a tie for fifth and sixth there. Greg Anderson is seventh. Alex Laughlin, who is the newest elite motorsports driver, is 61 back. Chris McGahey, he's in 8th and 9th, Chris McGahey, and 10th is Jed Coughlin Jr., who is the other elite. So, you got 4 elite drivers in the top 10 with Erica leading the bunch. And then one of last year's runner-ups, Tanner Gray, who was on his way to win a championship while he had faltered later on in the season, and he's running 12th this year. Top 10 makes the countdown. So that's where you want to be going into Indianapolis, because once you finish Indianapolis, the countdown begins. Well, there's our NHRA wrap up there. On to the Clash. The fun has begun. Oh, let me get to the ARCA series. You know, that's something I wanted to touch on as well. The first race at Daytona was this weekend. And girl power. The pole was captured by Natalie Decker, driver of the Venturini Motorsports Toyota in the Lucas Oil 200. So that was pretty neat. Michael Self managed to win the race. Willie Mullins took second. Sheldon Creed in the third spot. Cherry Hill, New Jersey's own Tom Hessert, fourth. And Natalie Decker in the top five. So that's good for her. Max Tolman, sixth. Noah Gregson, check off in the truck series once in a while. He was seventh. Lalani Munter was eighth. So Andrew Belmont. Andy's still running out of Langhorne, Pennsylvania. I thought they moved to Mooresville. I used to go to a place that was right next door to his shop. I ran into him a couple times at that looks like a young kid. Maybe that's his son. Anyway, out of Langhorne, Pennsylvania, is ninth. Riley Herbst rounds out the top 10th. Longtime veteran Bobby Gearhart, got to throw his name out there because it's one of the few guys that's been around for a while. At 11 in Pennsylvania, is 12th. So, anybody else? We've got to get Sarah Cornett Ching back in there because she ran good in that as well. Margin of victory, 0.56. 7 cautions for 20 laps. 2 red flags for a whopping total of 46 minutes, 1 real late. They kept saying they're never going to get the race done is what I heard. We have lap leaders are Zane Smith, Chuck Heyer, Sheldon Creed, Michael Self, Sean Corr, and Max Tolman. So good to see Natalie get the pole. Good for her. Trying to get her on. And the points. No, that's not this year's points. That's last year's points. Come on, Arca. Should be an easy one. Actually, pretty much the results would be the points. Just in position, maybe not in the actual points because different things come in hand. The next race won't be until April, the Music City 200 at the Nashville Fairgrounds. And that'll be 8 p.m. on April 7th. That's a few months away, so on to NASCAR. The clash is in, and who takes the race? It's been a battle because just when you thought somebody was going to get it, somebody else got it. But it was Ford's in the top four, with the top non-Ford being the pole winner, who's called the pole sitter. Was they draw, let's see who starts where, and Austin Dillon did start from the pole, but it was the two of Brad Keselowski taking the win. Joey Logano finished second. Kurt Busch taking third. And Ryan Blaney finishing fourth. So three Penske Fords and a Stuart Haas Ford in the top four. Like I said, Austin Dillon, your pole sitter, was fifth. Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, Eric Jones are your three Toyota contingents from Joe Gibbs, 6th, 7th, and 8th. Kevin Harvick, 9th. Kyle Larson round out the top 10. Jimmy Johnson did not finish. Of course, he got wrecked by Kyle Larson on the second to the last lap or the last lap. And guess what? Seven straight clashes. Jimmy Johnson did not finish. Margin of victory, 0.1 second. Three cautions for eight laps. 11 lead changes amongst seven drivers. That would be Dillon, Hamlin, Chase Elliott, who was leading for a while. He led. I thought he was going to have a shot because he led laps 34 through 38. And then Keselowski came and led 39 through 75 to finish out the race. You know how the draft works at Daytona. So you get shuffled and you move back a little bit. Where did Chase Elliott finish? 13th. Started 12th, stayed up front for a while. So they did run three stages, which of course, no points involved. Of course, a Daytona pole winner eligible did not run, and that was Danica Patrick, who, as a matter of fact, was looking to qualify for the Daytona 500. Let's hear from our winners. We'll get that in a second. Not too many clash stats. Who's starting one? Let me see if they got the lineup for the duels. That'll tell me. No, they don't have it. So, no, don't even have the line. Come on, Daytona. Come on, NASCAR. This is the media site put on. There we go, by car. Jeffrey Earnhardt. Jamie McMurray, Brad Keselowski, he's locked in. He actually, Alex Bowman, pole, so he's already locked in. He doesn't have to worry about it. Taking over. And then Jimmy Johnson, looks like he's in the outside the front row. So they really don't have to worry about it. That's duel number one. Actually, I'm surprised both of them are in the same duel. So. Of course, the pit assignments. Oh, I don't know. Oh, that's it. I guess so. The way they have this up, they should put it dual one and dual two. This way you can tell who's in there. I don't see Danica's name in, so that's one. And I don't see a second page. Well, whoever's not in one is in two. Anyway, let's go to the audio from the Clash. Here's your race winner, Brad Keselowski, on Taking the Win.
All right. As you can see, we are now joined by the race winner of today's Advanced Auto Parts Clash, Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 2, Miller Lite Ford. Brad, you had a little bit of teamwork there at the end helping keep you up front. Why don't you just take us to the end of the race there?
Wasn't me. what was the question?
You had some teamwork there at the end. Why don't you just take us through the end of the race there for you?
Yeah, so, I thought it was a good race. We were able to work away from last to first. That feels good to me. you know, and we did that a number of ways. I think one through making some passes there early on. We got up to, I think, third or fourth and kind of stalled there, and right before the yellow, we fell back to right about 8. And I was just couldn't get the right run to break through. I needed a few more laps there. And we pitted and kind of just had a great sequence on the pit side, got to the lead. And we had those restarts in succession there. And just kind of a dogfight, I think, between a handful of cars. The 9 was really good, the 22. And, of course, my teammate Ryan Blaney was really strong. And you know, from there, we got good pushes on the restart, and we were able to get back by the 9 car, who, you know, I thought he was screaming fast, and just kind of controlled the tempo of the race from there, just deliberately working the lanes and doing what we needed to do. And of course, as we got towards the end and I had both my teammates behind me, that wasn't a bad feeling at all, but I knew that they were hungry to win, and I knew they'd make a move to win. That Ryan did, he made a move to win, and that's cool. That's what he should do. You know, we were able to fend it off there with, you know, making the right move. So, proud to get a win here. It's Speed Weeks. I've never won anything in Speed Weeks. I feel like I've kind of choked them away, and, I only got one. I didn't choke away. That's good. Just hoping I can, you know, repeat this in 7 days.
All right.
There you have Brad Keselowski. Let's hear from second place, Joey Logano.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get started with our post-race interviews. Joey, go ahead and tell us how your day went, and go ahead.
Nice. My day was second. What a decent race for us. You know, it's good just to get out there, see what you know, the cars are going to handle like. These rules package is, you know, with the ride height change and the bigger spoiler and the way the cars draft and handle. This was the most important clash to ever be a part of. I think every driver can probably say that comfortably. You know, and it was fun. We had a car that was up there, you know, all day. We were able to lead some laps. We were able to stay in the top 3. You know, stayed where we needed to be, able to make the moves when we needed to. Proud of that. Proud of, you know, working with a new spotter with TJ out there and learned a lot there. New pit stops with one less guy and the new guns and all that stuff. So that was, everything went smooth. And that's kind of what this race was about, is just to see how all that stuff goes. And then we're just wired to win. So I don't have to say that. But, you know, it's great to see the Team Penske cars, 1, 2, 3. It's kind of fun to watch that. And I don't have much patience, so that tested my patience. I don't know about you guys, but for the last 20 laps, I was in there going crazy. Waiting for someone to make a move. I was ready to go, and you know, eventually Blaney was able to make the move on the white flag lap, which, you know, may not have been the wrong move. It just didn't work out great there. And then being second down the back stretch and seeing the 41 come with a big run, I thought this is my shot. Just got to get in front of the 41, and he was kind of forced to have to push me because he was 3 wide, and then it just watered him up. Yeah, that was the end of my push and the end of my race, and I got the second. So overall, like I said, a uneventful day. Everything went pretty smooth, so that's good.
And we have pole winner That's right. Denny Hamlin took the outside pole for the 500. So they're locked in. Here is your pole winner, Alex Bowman.
All right. We're going to wrap up our media availabilities running of the Daytona 500. We are joined by the pole winner for next Sunday's Daytona 500, Alex Bowman, driver of the number 88 Nationwide Chevrolet. We're also joined by his crew chief, Greg Ives, and team owner, Rick Hendrick. This is the fourth Daytona 500 pole, fourth consecutive Daytona 500 pole for Hendrick Motorsports, which is tied for the most consecutive Daytona 500 pole for a team owner. Rick, why don't you just talk a little bit about what that means for you and the team?
You know, when I started racing and we came to Daytona, it was always try to go for the pole. And I remember the first qualifying attempt down here with Jeff Bodine, the car was missing when he came around, and we didn't think we were going to make the race. Our guys just text me, we've got 20 out of the 60 poles here. So it's amazing. Greg and the team, all the guys did a great job today with the new Camaro. And we're excited to be here and get another one.
And, Greg, you're no stranger to the front row here at the Daytona 500. Why don't you just...
Well, they went to owner and crew chief, so, well, we'll just pass on that. I was hoping to... go to that. And let's hear from Danica had a few statements to make.
If I can have your attention here in the media center, we are now joined by Danica Patrick, driver of the number 7 GoDaddy Chevrolet, making her final run here in the Daytona 500, the Great American Race. And Danica is a former pole winner for this race and having some high highs and experience that here.
I'm watching myself not out there in clash practice. Me?
Are you relaxed going here into your final run?
Yeah, I feel good. I mean, I think that if there's anything that I hope to feel when I get in the car in a couple hours is familiar, right? I mean, it should all be familiar, but it's a new team. It's new stuff to sit in, so it should all be really, really, really close. But hopefully it just kind of feels familiar and I slip right into it. In fact, this is not a different start than I had last year. This is the identical same start to the season I had last year. I never got in the car between the last race in Homestead and the first practice in Daytona here, so the only thing that would have been different is I'd have been out in clash practice. But other than that, it's all the same.
Okay. Well, open the...
And Danica in her final Daytona 500, so... back in GoDaddy colors, different team. Can-Am duels are Thursday, starting at 7 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. So check it out. Probably finishing duel number 2 when I get home from my day job, which I'll be heading to in a couple hours, or in an hour. Actually, in a half hour, 45 minutes or so. So anyway... That's our show for today. Hope everybody had a good time listening. Special thanks to Erica Enders for calling in. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. I'm Vince. Bye now.